Red Lipstick, The Men in My Life. Written by Lakshmi. Narrated by Binaifa G. Mirza. Glossary. Perhaps some readers are unaware of the myriad terms and phrases that are a part of this book. To me, just as to so many others, they are the truths of my life. Its facets, but to several others, they are plain jargon. So, here's a list of the common terms and abbreviations in Red Lipstick, so as to inform those who are ignorant and to dispel any confusion. TG, transgender. MSM, men who have sex with men. LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer. DWS, Thy Welfare Society. APNSW, Asia Pacific Network of Sex Workers. The Red Lipstick Monologue. When I was born, the doctor checked my genitals and pronounced me a boy. Who could foretell that a claim like that, a seemingly innocuous gesture, would mark me for life? What we are assigned as at birth, male or female, is our gender. And somewhere along the way, we human beings decided that that gender would dictate our lives, steer us down certain paths, brand our behavior, and inform almost all our choices. From something as trivial as the color of your car, to bigger decisions such as choosing a partner for life. Nobody ever seemed to realize that gender is nothing but an unromantic box. And so it is that people like me, who fall nowhere in this binary, or somewhere in between, or even leap beyond, to me, the term transgender has always implied transcending gender, are considered misfits in society. We are termed abnormal, but as LGBT rights activist Ashok Rao Kavi told me all those years ago when I, a boy myself, asked him why I liked men's crotches. And I quote, "The world around us is abnormal, baby. You are normal." Unquote. As I was growing up, in the eyes of the world and those of my own family, I never gravitated towards manly things. I loved to draw and paint, twirl around in lovely, flowy fabric, wear makeup and jewelry. My absolute passion, however, was dance. In dancing, I was completely and utterly free. All of this meant, of course, that I was feminine. But the problem was that I was feminine despite being a boy. So when I wore bangles because they looked so good, red and shiny on my wrists, I would be told off by my friend's mother. Everyone's reactions around me seemed to indicate that I was acting like a girl. So I felt like a girl too. I would often refer to myself as one. "Main abhi aati hu," I would say, and immediately be reprimanded for doing that. "Ladkiyon jaisi harkat mat kar," that is, "don't act like girls," I would be told. When I decided to grow my hair because long hair is beautiful, it really disturbed my father. He made sure I had it cut because "Achhe ghar ke ladke aise nahi karte," that is, boys from good households do not behave this way. The world kept suggesting I was a girl, but my private parts indicated that I was a boy. And then there was the whole question of sexuality. I was attracted to boys. My first inklings and stirrings of lust came from noticing big, strong arms, the hint of a guy's mustache over his lips, billboards that advertised men's underwear. And I was puzzled. Was there a woman inside me who wouldn't really express herself because of some last-minute mix-up that God did at the time of my birth? Back then, in the early 1990s, the word gay simply meant happy. Until one fine day, I was told that, in fact, that was who I was. Directed to Ashok for advice, I remember that day in Maheshwari Gardens so very well, When seeing him and others like him and me around, I was overjoyed to have finally found an identity I could call mine wholeheartedly. I was not Chakka, Mamu, God, or any of those terms hurled at me on a daily basis as abuses. I was gay. The world might still not like me for desiring someone of my own sex, but at least now there was certainty. For the first time in my life, I could set aside the crippling confusion and say to the world, I am a gay man. The certainty did not last long. Now the world expected me to behave in yet another way. Once again, I was confronted with parameters and boundaries. I could wear shirts and pants, but I had to look and act pansy. If I felt like wearing lipstick and a sari, it would mean I was doing drag. I just liked the feel of the sari and the way it draped over my body. Does there really have to be more to it? I wondered. As a gay man, I was also always supposed to be cruising other gay men, to be on the lookout for sex almost constantly. How exhausting! Is that any way to live? And why is it all only about sex? I wondered about all this as I went on with my life, checking the boxes I was tagged under as a gay man, as a drag queen. But the question of my identity, that dialogue with myself, remained unanswered, unaddressed. Who am I when it's just me, alone in my room? Who am I for the world? Are these two selves different? Do they have to be? I am 37 today, and over the years, I don't know if I've reached a place closer to the answer. I don't know if I ever will. But if there is one identity I stay true to, it is the one that was created almost seamlessly. It is the Lakshmi the world demanded when I went out to make my voice heard, to talk about the rights of transgenders. The persona of Lakshmi, the activist, that was formed as much by the world I was interacting with as by my own efforts. The supremely confident Lakshmi, who wears gorgeous saris, expensive makeup and perfume, who projects an image of absolute self-assurance, travels the length and breadth of the country, and attends international conferences, gives speeches at queer pride parades, delivers TED Talks, is interviewed by the likes of Guernica and Salman Rushdie. So many doors that were closed to me, that were firmly shut, opened to this Lakshmi. The creation of this persona has played an incredibly important role in my story. In the journey of my life, I began to enjoy being this Lakshmi. And this Lakshmi got things done. So she is as much for the world as for me. If there is one role for me, the one big cause I know I'm meant for, the raison d'etre of my existence, it is that of an activist. I firmly believe that even if you have the best laws, unless you change the mindset of people, nothing will change. And that is what true activism means to me. That's why I can never be a 9-to-5 activist. I don't understand that. I am and can only be a 24/7 activist. Which is why, whatever the circumstances in my personal life, in public, I have to be that. The Lakshmi. Once I step out of my personal space, I cannot be merely myself. I have to be in the garb of that strong activist Lakshmi because, inadvertently, I have come to represent a community of millions of people in this country. People look up to me, and I have to fulfill the responsibilities of the role that has been given to me. No matter what I'm dealing with in my personal life, in public, I always go as Lakshmi, the strong, unbreakable activist nobody can mess with. In fact, if I'm going through a difficult time personally, I act even stronger when I don the persona. When I'm completely alone, all by myself, I'm not sure what feeling I'm most comfortable with, who I feel is completely and only me. I ask myself many questions. Who am I? What am I? Then later I think, fuck it, I am Lakshmi. That's my persona. There is no room for doubt. When Rama was leaving Ayodhya to begin his 14-year exile in the forest, such was his popularity. So great the devotion of his people towards him that the entire kingdom followed him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?